This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring a discussion on PME Bus Seva, a landmark initiative to promote green urban mobility. The participants are Ashish Kundra, Principal Secretary cum Commissioner, Transport, Government of Delhi, and Sonu Sood, Anchor.
In a mega push for electric mobility in public transportation, the Union Cabinet on Wednesday approved the PME Bus Seva scheme, in which around 10,000 new electric buses will be deployed on PPP model in 169 cities across the country. To discuss this exciting milestone in our fast-paced journey towards becoming a developed country, we have with us Principal Secretary cum Commissioner Transport Government of Delhi, Mr. Ashish Kundra. Sir, a warm welcome to you from Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
Sir, can you tell us about the PME Bus Seva scheme approved yesterday by the Cabinet? What are its key objectives? Can it be seen as a significant step for strengthening green urban mobility in our country?
Yes, you know, this is basically a progression of a big push which has been given by the central government for decarbonizing urban transport and more so in public transport. So it started off with the FAME scheme and FAME 2 scheme, in which the bus manufacturing companies given capital subsidies, lowered the cost of production for them. And we have seen progressively cities across India gradually increasing the number of electric buses as a result of these schemes. And there's a fundamental difference in the manner in which cities in India are now going to operate buses. Earlier, they used to buy and operate buses. Now, the manufacturers and operators and the state transport corporations, they are tied into a contract, and buses are contracted for a period of 10 to 12 years. And, you know, the bid parameter is the rate quoted by companies for running these buses per kilometer. So it's a long-term contract, and I think that this is a brilliant move to incentivize and accelerate the adoption of electric buses across cities in India.
So, sir, the scheme would have an estimated cost of ₹57,613 crore, out of which support of ₹20,000 crore will be provided by central government. Now, the actual operations, as you're telling us, will be handled by the state governments. Their involvement is equally crucial for successful implementation of the program.
Yes. So, you know, now, as I said, the model of operation is moving from procurement of buses to a long-term contract in which private companies are running these buses. However, for a successful contract, the crucial thing is that the state governments or city governments, they ensure that the payment security is assured to these companies and payments are done in a timely fashion. So obviously, whichever is the best discovered price, the companies who invest capital upfront, they would expect that the payments are done on a regular basis. So it's certainly the states and cities have a major role to play also for the success of this model and project.
So what is the benefit of using the public-private partnership, the PPP model, for this project? Do you see private participation coming forth enthusiastically?
Yeah, you know, so let's first remember that today the number of manufacturers who are manufacturing electric buses in India is actually larger than the number of companies manufacturing electric cars in India. And that's a significant pointer to the success of the previous policy which was in place till now. And I'm sure that this new announcement will further enthuse companies to upscale their production of electric buses. Let's recall that about 25-30 years ago, you know, there was a major shift of fuel from diesel to CNG in Delhi. And that is when production of low-floor CNG buses started. And now I think this is the new age push for true decarbonization of public transport. And the involvement of the private sector, as you asked, is because it introduces an element of efficiency and competition. And secondly, the maintenance costs, etc., are all bundled into a single cost parameter, which is the price quoted for running these buses on a per kilometer basis, which makes the lives of the STU also easier, because a large number of times the buses are poorly maintained and rickety, and so that problem gets addressed to a large extent in this model.
Current government has always stressed on equitable growth and inclusivity, covering all cities with population above 3 lakh, including capital cities, union territories, northeastern region and hill states, and prioritizing cities without organized bus services. You feel that is another step in this direction of inclusivity?
Yes, of course, equity is a major consideration in all such policies. And the fact of the matter is that electric buses, till such time that the range of the buses increases beyond, let us say, 500 kilometers in a single charge, to a large extent, it will remain an intra-city phenomena. And I think there's a growing consciousness on the contribution of transport in the worsening air quality of cities. And to that extent, if we are able to encourage a shift to public transport and that also completely green transport, it will have a salutary impact on the overall air quality of cities. And it will have a huge impact on decongestion of cities as well.
And you feel the scheme will also lead to direct employment generation? That is also another benefit.
You know, for each bus that is produced, it's a new line of production. There will be people who will be engaged in the production process. There will be drivers who will be engaged. There will be conductors who will be engaged. There will be the ancillary support industry for maintenance, etc., which will also come into play. So it's a whole new segment of employment which will kind of get a sharper focus.
Under this scheme is also included development and upgradation of charging infrastructure in 181 cities under Green Urban Mobility Initiatives. Can you tell us more about this aspect?
You know, the faster adoption of electric mobility in cities in India, one of the key, let us say, bottlenecks for that is the inadequacy of charging infrastructure. So if you are buying an electric car at home, you would be concerned that, you know, I might run out of charge and there'll be no place to charge my car. Whereas if you are using a diesel or a petrol car, you don't have that anxiety because you know there's a fuel station around the corner. So if there's a densification of charging infrastructure in cities, in our experience in Delhi, we have seen that ramping up of charging infrastructure has helped increase the uptake of personal electric vehicles and commercial electric vehicles in a large way. Today, Delhi has got about 4,000 plus charging points. And that is why, that's one of the reasons that, you know, we're the national leaders in as far as city electric mobility is concerned.
There's a lot of talk about behind the meter power infrastructure. Can you tell us about this? How will it be built as a part of the PM e-Bus Seva scheme? How will it support the operations of the e-buses?
So let us understand that, for instance, the buses are concerned. The current model is that they are depots, and from depots, the buses move out on routes which are designated for their operation. When we talk of electric buses, obviously you need charging infrastructure inside the depot. Now, for servicing this charging infrastructure, you need an upstream investment which brings the power from the grid to the charging points. And that, in some cases, can be a substantial sum of money, which is a one-time investment although, but it can vary from as low as, you know, 5 to 10 crores, it can go up to 30 crores, depending on the situation of the grid. In certain cases, you need investments to stabilize the grid as well. Because obviously, with increased electrification, there's going to be a greater demand for power also. Typically, for 100 buses, you need about 4 to 5 megawatts of power. You know, in a city like Delhi, for example, we are going for a program of about 8,000 electric buses, means we need additional 400 megawatts of power. And naturally, this will have implication for, you know, strengthening of the grid upstream as well. So those kind of investments, if they get covered in this, that will be certainly help the city governments and state governments to a large extent.
If we talk of commuters, you know, green initiatives like multimodal interchange facilities or NCMC, the National Common Mobility Card-based automated fare collection systems, you feel these will make the commuter experience a pleasure, apart from the fact that they will be traveling in these state-of-the-art electric buses?
Yes, most certainly. You know, when you travel to London, for example, you are seamlessly able to move from the bus service to the tube and use the same card for that. So the government of India is now giving a big push to this National Common Mobility Card. And in Delhi also, we have floated a bid for this so that we can introduce that in our buses, which will be interchangeably used, not just in the metro, but also in the rapid rail transport, which is going to connect Delhi with Meerut, for instance. So people will then have an ease of use and be able to move from one mode of public transport to another without any hassle.
And what about the cost element for commuters and the cost element for the operators? I mean, compared to the regular buses, which are run on diesel or CNG, what is the cost mechanics of these buses and how does it translate into the cost for commuters?
See, as far as the diesel buses are concerned, they are significantly more expensive to run given today's fuel prices and the volatility of global oil prices. And most cities are using diesel buses. So when they transition from, let us say, a diesel to electric, I think the cost would drop by perhaps half per kilometer, and more so through a PPP model, even more so. Now, for a state corporation, obviously, when they determine the tariff it's charged or chargeable to a customer, they take into account their net costs. And if the net costs are going down, naturally, there'll be a downward trend of pricing for even the passengers.
You have already touched upon this aspect, but since it directly impacts the city and the air that we breathe, we would like to know from you, what are the environmental benefits of increased share of e-buses in public transportation? We talk about AQI levels and how is it hazardous for health. So from that point of view, how do you see this shift?
Yeah, so, if you talk about, let us say, a graded architecture of SIN in terms of the SIN towards air quality, diesel vehicles are the most polluting, then petrol, then CNG, and then electric. Electric is zero emission. Even in terms of personal mobility, I'm making a choice to move from a diesel vehicle to an electric vehicle. I'm contributing to better air quality. But if a bunch of people, let's say 40 people, decide to forego use of their vehicles altogether and move to electric buses, there'll be a substantial gain in better air quality in the cities that we live in.
You feel that, this is a kind of double-pronged approach where not only is public transportation, which we keep talking about, that we need a strong public transportation system if we want to bring down the air pollution. And also, it is a much more efficient and, as you're saying, zero emission mode of transport. So you feel that in coming times, this will get a greater and greater push from the government?
Most certainly. I mean, there are no two ways about it. As you know, there's on one hand, a growing consciousness among citizens and a demand for better air quality. On the other hand, there is a very compelling case, both in terms of economics and in terms of the environmental logic, on making a shift to clean public transport. And I think it is inescapable that we will see a greater push towards electric buses in the coming years. And as it is, I'm seeing a very fascinating trend across cities, and there's a healthy competition where cities are trying to outdo the other in terms of the greater induction of electric buses.
And as far as the initial cost goes for personal mobility, how do the electric car, e-vehicles, how do they compare with the traditional ICT vehicles?
So in personal mobility, the cars, the ICE engine cars are definitely are cheaper as compared to electric. And one reason is that cost of an electric vehicle, whether they are cars or they're buses, 40% of the car cost is the cost of the battery. And the reason the cost of the battery is so high is that we import cells and then their battery is manufactured in India. But now the government of India has come out with this scheme which gives production-linked incentives for advanced chemistry cell manufacture. And I am very optimistic that in the next couple of years, there will be companies which will set up, shop here in India for manufacturing of cells. Once that starts happening, then the costs will go down and, the initial, let us say, cost which people bear for buying an electric car or a two-wheeler will be far lower in any case than a conventional fuel vehicle.
So new age, state-of-the-art, energy-efficient electric buses will be a game changer for the urban public transportation landscape of our country and help us move one step closer to becoming a developed country. Thank you so much, Ashishji, for this detailed discussion on the various aspects of PME Bus Seva Scheme, which was approved yesterday by the Cabinet.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on PME Bus Seva, a landmark initiative to promote green urban mobility. The participants were Ashish Kundra, Principal Secretary cum Commissioner, Transport, Government of Delhi, and Sonu Sood, Anchor. This program is produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on a mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.